We are glad to present your speaker, Garland Elkins.
In 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 15, Paul said to Timothy, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, we need much preaching in our day on the proper division of God's word. There are many false doctrines because of false principles of interpretation. Sometimes there are those who simply do not know how to rightly divide the word of truth. Sometimes there are those, when asked for authority, simply say they do not have to have authority. But if they please the Lord, they must have authority. Some people think if you do not find a "thou shalt not do so-and-so," that you can go on and do it with God's approval. But this is not an acceptable principle of interpretation. In fact, it is a false principle of interpretation. It is not even reasonable. Now, suppose somebody says, if silence, if he does not say, "thou shalt not do a thing," some people take that as being equal to a command to use a thing. Now, suppose, for example, that you went to a druggist, to a pharmacist, and in filling your prescription, he added any and all medicines to which the doctor had not said do not have, or which the doctor did not say leave out. In other words, the doctor prescribed medicine, but on the other hand, he decided that anything the doctor did not specifically forbid him to use, he would put into your prescription. I had a friend years ago who went to a druggist, and I'm sure the druggist did not intend to do this, but by mistake, he put the wrong medicine into the prescription. And my friend said that it harmed his health greatly. But on the other hand, if a mother sends her child to the store for some items and told the child, for example, to purchase a loaf of bread, she would not have to mention every item in the store and say, "thou shalt not buy this item, and thou shalt not buy that item." In other words, the child would know, if told to buy a loaf of bread, that the authority was to buy the bread and only the bread. And so suppose a couple were desiring to get married. And suppose that they went, for example, to a truck driver. Or they went, for example, to someone who had no authority of any kind. And they said, "well, we want to get married." And simply on the ground that there is no statement, not saying, for example, that a farmer or a truck driver or whoever the person might be that is not authorized, that there's no statement saying, "thou shalt not perform the ceremony." Suppose they go to a person like that and say, "we would like to be married. We want you to perform the ceremony." Well, those people, unless they're authorized by the state, do not have the right thus to do. And so there's no passage in the New Testament specifically stating, "thou shalt not offer animal sacrifice" in Christian worship as they did in the Old Testament. But on the other hand, we know that that is forbidden. For in 2 John 9 through 11, "whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." Peter says in 1 Peter 4:11, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion, now and forever. Amen." Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, "prove all things, hold fast that which is good." And so what we must have in the New Testament, in order for an act to be authorized, is the authority of the New Testament for it. In other words, someone might say that he did not find, or she did not find in the New Testament, a statement saying, "thou shalt not sprinkle or pour." But at the same time, there is authority for a burial, and that eliminates sprinkling and pouring. For example, Paul says in Ephesians 4:5, "there is one baptism, one Lord, one faith, one baptism." But in Colossians 2:12, he said, "buried with him." Well, that eliminates sprinkling and pouring. "Buried with him in baptism, when also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead." So all law is both inclusive and exclusive. The command to do a thing includes the doing of that specific thing only, and does not permit the addition of other items in the same category. God has always forbidden adding unto what He commands. Deuteronomy 4:2 and 12:32 and Proverbs 30:6 says that we are not to add thou not unto His word, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found to be a liar. Revelation 22:18-19 tells us if we add anything to His revelation, the plagues that are written therein will be added unto us, and that if we take anything away, that our name will be taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life. In fact, Paul worded it this way in Galatians 1:8-9, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that we preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Some have taken the position that one may add in practice, but not in teaching. That is, they claim that one must not add to the words or the text of the Bible, nor when reading the Bible, but they say that one may in practice add to what is authorized in the Bible. Well, according to this idea, the pharmacist must not write words adding other medicines to the doctor's prescription. He must not add to that written document, and he must quote it accurately when talking about it. But, friends, would that give him the right to add any and all other medicines that he might wish to add in filling that prescription? No sensible person would say that it would give him that right. According, though, to this false rule of interpretation, if because it does not say and specify every item in the world, one might add to his anything in his imagination to his religion and his worship and practice. But, friends, that does not follow and is not taught in the Scriptures. For example, when God commanded Noah to build the ark of gopher wood in Genesis 6:14, Noah could not have added pine or oak or any other kind of wood when building the ark and have God's approval in doing it. He could not add it to the blueprint for the ark, nor could he add it in the actual building of the ark. The reason it is wrong to change the law of God in its wording by additions is the fact that it is sinful to change it in its practice. Either one or both are wrong. The reason the contractor will not allow any changes in the blueprint is the fact that there must be no changes in the actual construction of the building. It is because all things must be according to the blueprint in practice. And the Bible says we're to build all things according to the pattern. The law to build an ark of gopher wood excluded adding pine and all other kinds of wood. And if Noah had added some other kind of wood, he would have been drowned along with other disobedient people. But Noah was obedient to God. The Bible says in Genesis 6:22, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And in Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, being warned of God concerning things not moved as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, through which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness of God, and goes on and talks about other matters in Hebrews 11. But just so, the command to baptize believers excludes unbelieving infants, for little babies are not capable of believing. In Mark 16:16, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Well, no little baby is capable or believe in. Therefore, a baby is not included in this. In Acts 8:12, it is said, when Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them, it is said, but when they heard Philip preaching good tidings concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now, friends, that eliminates babies. Babies are not men and women. In Acts 18:8, many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. So the command for a person to believe excludes those who cannot believe. But further, the command to sing in worship excludes adding another kind of music, that is, playing. In Ephesians 5:19, Paul said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. In Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. Now, songbooks and notes, etc., are not additions to the law of the Lord, but are simple expedients. They expedite the doing of the very thing commanded without adding anything to it. In other words, when you use a songbook, you still just sing. When there are notes in the songbook, you still just sing. You do that which God commanded, which is to sing. But instrumental music, the organ, the French harp, the guitar, whatever the instrument may be, is an additional kind of music. It is going beyond that which the Lord has authorized. Now, if the Lord had told Noah merely to build the ark out of wood, he could have built the ark out of any kind of wood if God had left that to his judgment. But when God said, build the ark out of gopher wood, that eliminated all other kinds of wood. Now then, if the Lord had taught that we're to make music and left it that way, we could have had instrumental music, or we could have had vocal music, or we could have had both. But when he limited it to vocal music, and a specific kind of vocal music, that is singing, that eliminates instrumental music. And to play or to produce instrumental music is producing something that is not commanded, something that is not authorized. And such music is an addition to God's law for us, and thus not to be permitted. Again, I want to emphasize 2 John 9-11 at this point. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Now note why. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. There's a vast difference between aids and additions. Noah could use tools. I don't know what kind of tools he used, for the Bible does not say. But whatever tools he used were certainly permitted as long as he did not change the kind of wood God authorized. In other words, God told him, according to Genesis 6:14, to build the ark out of gopher wood, and he gave him the exact specifications. Now, had he used pine, that would have been an addition. But on the other hand, whatever tools or whatever other things he had in getting the wood to the place and all of that did not change the fact that he was still building the ark out of gopher wood. But in rightly dividing the word of truth, I want to mention that there have been three dispensations or periods of time. God has not had the same law under all of these periods of time. There are three great dispensations or laws in the Bible. The first was the patriarchal, which was from Adam to Moses, largely covered by the book of Genesis. This was a family religion, and the father or head of the house was the officiating priest to offer sacrifice for himself and his family. This age continued about 2,500 years. The next was the Jewish age from Moses to Christ, a period of some 1,500 years. This age began with the giving of the law of Moses at Mount Sinai and covered most of the Old Testament from Exodus 20. It was not a family system of religion, but a national system with Jerusalem as the place of worship. This age ended at the cross, and the last, the Christian age, became in force on the day of Pentecost, at which time the Great Commission became operative in Acts chapter 2, and has already lasted more than 1,900 years, and will continue to the end of the world. And we are under this dispensation, that dispensation, the Christian dispensation. I remember in Hebrews 10:9-10, speaking of Christ, the Hebrew writer said, Lo, I am come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he might establish the second. Now, we're living under the second, and that is the New Testament. That he might establish the second. By the which will, and the antecedent of the which will is the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And so we live under this last age, and we are therefore, of course, not living under either of the former dispensations. We're not living under the patriarchal, we're not living under the Mosaic dispensation. Paul says, for example, regarding the Mosaic dispensation, you're not under the law, but under grace, speaking of the law of Moses. Romans 6:14. John says, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John 1:17. And the Hebrew writer said, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Hebrews 1:1-2. The Son now hath all power and authority in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28:18. We must now hear him. When Peter wanted to put Jesus on a par with Moses and Elijah, God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Matthew 17:5. Though the Old Testament is inspired and is a part of the Word of God, we are not under it as a system of religion. Christ died to deliver us from the law. Paul said, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Colossians 2:14. Yes, it has been blotted out and taken out of the way, so that he, that is Christ, could become the mediator of the New Testament. Hebrews 9:15. And the New Testament is not an afterthought with God, for he foretold it by the prophets. He said that he would make this new covenant. Jeremiah 31:31-34. And the Hebrew writer quotes that in Hebrews 8:6-13. I would point out that Christ broke down the middle wall or partition between the Jew and Gentile by abolishing the old law of commandments. And we now have a new law with new commandments. And by the way, we are under law. There are people who say that we're not, but in James 1:25, it's called the perfect law of liberty. And in James 2:12, so speak ye and so do as men that are to be judged by a law of liberty. So we're under the New Testament law, and it does have commandments in it. Now, I've suggested some of the commandments of the Old Testament are incorporated and made a part of the New Covenant. Now, we are not bound to them because they were under the Old Covenant, but we are bound to them. For example, thou shalt not kill was a prohibition under the Old Testament, but it is likewise a part of the New Testament. And so, when bound on us in the New Testament, we, of course, are to be submissive. But then those things that were limited to the Old Testament, we're not amenable to. But the Old Testament law is not binding. If the Old Testament law were still binding, Jews and Gentiles would be separated as under the old law. But that middle wall of partition is broken down. There are many Judaizers today, some of them who would try to have us to burn incense and use instrumental music in our worship because it was used in the Old Testament. Others would try to have people practice circumcision, wear priestly robes, etc. Some would want to go back there to try to find a plurality of wives. Some would want to go back there to try to keep the Sabbath. But friends, we're not under the Old Covenant, although it is true and inspired of God. And every principle back there, which is incorporated into the New Testament, we now practice because it is a principle of the New Testament and not just because it was in the Old Testament. But I've mentioned before, God has changed his law. And we are not under that old law, the Old Testament today. Paul said in Hebrews 7:12, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. We are now under the law of Christ, Romans 8:2, Galatians 6:2. Paul says, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Galatians 3:23-25. And incidentally, in that same connection, verses 26 and 27, he said, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. If you have not been baptized into Christ, you have not become a Christian. I urge you as a believer, one who is penitent of every sin, one who has confessed that Christ is the Son of God, then to take the next step, which puts you into Christ, that you be baptized into Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. It is always a tremendous pleasure, a wonderful opportunity to preach the gospel of Christ. I hope you will tell others about the program, and I hope that you will listen yourself. May the Lord bless and keep you till we meet again. I return you again unto the announcer.